It's very good.
Those words don't even go together.
Pulsar, semi-dry,
iced mayonnaise,
toenail paragraph, hard cider. So it's great. It's highly recommended.
All right. I'll take two.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. Literature, movies, television, even music. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Welcome to Breaking the Panel. We go in depth, in on beyond, and everything else that you can think of to say, hey, it's not just comic books. It's not just comic book movies. It's all of it. It's the business. It's the entertainment value. It's the fun geekery and the full frontal nerdity. I am the Colt 45 of podcasting, Charles McFall. Along with me is the Pabst Blue Ribbon, Brian Ibbett.
I'm the near beer of podcasting. Nice.
Let's just, I forgot about near beer. I'm the O'Douls.
The O'Douls. Yeah. I'm the Rolling Rock. Right. I guess Rolling Rock is real beer, but.
We have an email address, btp at giant size.
Before that, we should probably explain why you're just hearing two people.
Oh, you know what? This is not a Tuesday. That wouldn't make sense.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we've got, normally you'd hear the sultry tones of Paul Klotz or maybe Chris Wisdom, but both of them are out and otherwise preoccupied. So it's just a two-person, listen, two people, if there are any two people who can break the panel, it is Charles and myself.
That's true. And if there's any three people who can break the show, that'd be Chris Wisdom, Paul Klotz, and Travis Jones. We're both out.
Well said, yeah. Right, well said.
They did that well. Klotz has family obligations tonight, and Wisdom has got the real world job still going on until July. So we got a couple more weeks of him being gone, and he is missed. And real quick, we did get nominated for the podcast awards. We want to thank everybody for voting for us. Oh, we very much appreciate you. Unless you didn't vote, then thanks for nothing.
So. Well, thanks for thinking of us.
Yeah. When they say it's a thought that counts, they also say you're pretty. But the ceremony is June 26th at 8 p.m. on podcastawards.com. You can tune in live and see us win.
Yeah, so you'll find out when we do. You'll see either the excitement or the sadness on our faces live.
And that'll be 8 p.m. Eastern, I think, is what it is. Not to Hawaiian, which would be like 2 in the afternoon Eastern or something. All right, emails. So we got two emails today, actually. Hi, True Believers and Filthy Casual. Thank you. I just watched the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and realized an interesting parallel regarding Inhumans and Mutants. The second half of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is similar to the plot of Bryan Singer's X-Men. Case in point, spoilers, by the way. Mm-hmm. Hive was attempting to make everyone an inhuman by setting off a giant bomb that contains a chemical agent that transformed everyone into a primitive subhuman / inhuman hybrid. Which, by the way, the fact that they did not call that a Terrigen bomb kind of irritated me.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Right.
Good point.
Even though it wasn't the exact same effect, still a Terrigen bomb. All right. In the first X-Men movie, Magneto also attempts to turn everyone into mutants by emitting a... emitting a machine that turns humans into mutants. I think it's inventing. Anyway.
Oh, inventing. Yeah, if it's inventing a machine, right.
Is this Marvel's way of sticking it to Fox? And this is from, I'm not sure how to pronounce it correctly. I'd say Jolie, but it could be Joel.
I don't know. I've not seen that. I don't see the emails. You've got those on a separate sheet. Or do you? Is it somewhere
in here?
Episode
34. It should be at the top of Inside Baseball.
Episode 34. What am I looking at here then?
I don't know. We're on 660.
Oh my gosh. I added stuff to way the wrong place. Oh, Jiminy Christmas. All right. Cool. Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's now I'm on the right page. All right. So we get to my article, we'll need to go back to episode 16, apparently.
I hate it. It does. Our sheet randomly opens up a tab. Yeah. And you really have to look and see where you're at. Yeah.
Crazy. Okay. So, Jolie or Joel. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's coincidence. I don't think it's intentionally, I don't think Marvel would gain anything by saying, let's use all this money that we've spent on this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to intentionally
dig into Fox.
Yeah.
I agree, but there's a little voice in my head that says, but they killed the Fantastic Four in the comic book print, and they killed Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And it, I finally got around to reading The Death of Wolverine. It was quite bad. It was not good.
Really? Yeah.
At all. Yeah, it was just gimmick. It was sticking it to Fox.
Yeah, it seemed like a kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Gimmicky mess. Yeah, so my opinion is I think it's a coinkydink.
Yeah, I think them killing Lash, though, is a way to stick it to the last part of the fanboys who liked the show last season. You know, all of a sudden, one of the best characters in the show is dead. He's like, I know. Why? What?
I know.
Hope this next season is better.
And if you're going to get rid of a couple of characters because they've got a pilot for another show coming, make sure that pilot happens. Because I think they really shot themselves in the foot by losing Adrian Palicki and Hunter, Mockingbird and Hunter.
Yeah, that's my only hope is that we know that they're moving it to, of course, it's the death slot, which sucks, but they're moving it to the Friday night 10 p.m. to make it edgier and darker. It's like, well, if any show can succeed, it'd be them.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard about that. Okay, well, that's going to be interesting. Good luck with that.
Yeah. I don't know. It needs to go back to second half of first season. The first half of the first season was kind of cheesy.
Yeah, and it was all a slow setup. Second half of the first season was really good, I thought.
Yeah. I that's when we first started seeing the Inhuman stuff, and it was real comic booky. I mean, it was still Earth-based. It was still stuff that can happen, and you can show on TV, and we'll follow along. But there was a little bit of, ooh, it turns people into stone. Why does it do that? And what else is going on in these mysteries? And it's like, once we solved the mystery of Daisy, the show was over. Mm-hmm. It kind of feels like. They're like, now we're just... We're on the Daisy train, and let's see what she does next week. And like,
Daisy train. I like that. It's a very clever, whether it's an intentional pun or not. Yeah, I'm totally with you. I really, really wanted to like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this season more than I did, and it just felt like such a slog. And there'd be moments, there's some great episodes mixed in there, like the episode where Simmons is trapped on that planet is great.
Yes.
And they do the whole, they really go above and beyond in that episode, but then they water it down with yet another return. And that was second season, actually, that Simmons season, mm-hmm. Simmons episode. But they just need to, Grant Ward, let's be done with him. No more coming back. Cause he's,
if they bring him back from this, then why watch it?
Right. Right. Yeah. Then we're looking at a soap opera is what's going on.
You've killed him straight up once. Mm-hmm. You've run him off a couple times. You thought you killed him a couple times.
Right.
You for sure killed him once. And now you've blown him to smithereens and obliterated him, is what I was trying to say. You've obliterated him in space, along with a semi-weak but could be developed character that I guess they just didn't want to bother developing. So... I don't know. We'll see. You know, here's the thing. And I got it a little wrong, but the second I saw the opening to the second half of the last season, the second season, which is the Vision, right? It's 6 months ago or 6 months from now or something, whatever the time frame was. Mm-hmm. It showed the patch on the uniform, the floating cross in the ship, and then you could tell there's some decompression and flames. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to 6 months ago or whatever, and we followed the lead up to that. I just had this vibe that was Ward. Now, I got a little wrong because I thought it'd be Ward in the uniform. And I don't know why I thought that, I just did, but I ended up getting it half right because he was next to the guy in the uniform. I've heard rumors, Chloe, whatever her name is, that plays Daisy. Mm-hmm. I didn't read the article and I skimmed through it, but it wasn't enough to bring to the table here. Right. But basically, she says that Marvel doesn't care about.
Oh yeah,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
television. Yeah, it sounded. Yeah, it was. Talk about biting the hand that feeds you. But that's what it kind of.
It kind of felt like that, though.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, we're gonna make the TV show do all this Inhuman stuff because we're building up the Inhumans movie. Oh no, we're moving the Inhumans movie now. Whatever you did is crap. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, so, it's. You want to feel like as an actor, you've got the ability to speak out on stuff like that. But on the second hand, look at what happened with Charlie Sheen and Two and a Half Men, right? Didn't he get X'd out because he was, it was the half man. It was whatever the kid's name is, was speaking bad about the showrunner whose name I can't remember all of a sudden. Is it?
It was after Charlie Sheen left.
It was after Charlie Sheen left, right? And he was talking. Right. He was talking bad about the showrunner. It's like, oh, I don't. Yeah, that's a tough thing to do. You want her to go to Marvel first and say, I don't feel like you guys are treating us right. And then if your words aren't heard or whatever, then you maybe do something. But I don't know.
And I agree with you. I fully agree with you. As far as like careers go, she's a decent actress. She knows how to play to her audience, and she's cute. She will keep working. The Two and a Half Men, didn't quite fall in any of those categories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure that you'll get a whole lot of work after that, sir.
Right.
You got to be careful, man. Just saying.
For sure.
You want to read this next one from Frank?
I do. Gentlemen, while I love hearing your informed banter on many topics, I feel that when it comes to Turtles, I'm able to contribute just a little. Not sure if just y'all have seen it, so I'll keep this spoiler free. Similar to how Civil War and Apocalypse feel like you're watching a comic book, Turtles 2 doesn't lose sight of where it comes from. As my wife accurately surmised, if you went into the movie expecting high drama and Oscar-winning performances, you clearly didn't read your ticket right. But while the horrendous third Turtles movie from the 90s took Goofy too far, this one has just the right amount of cheese and pepperoni. Nice reference there.
Nice.
This is one of the rare cases of the sequel surpassing the original in almost every way. The humor didn't feel as forced. The explosions were appropriate, allowing for the Michael Bay factor. The pacing felt better. And with the exception of one scene, the sexualization of April, Megan Fox, was kept to a minimum. Yes, there are a couple of cringeworthy lines, mostly from the bimbo-rific Megan Fox that we mentioned are there, but far less than any recent Transformers movie by comparison. Importantly, the story was focused on the Turtles, not the boring human characters. Not having to tell an origin story helped, but the heroes in a half shell noticeably get more screen time and character development. There's some wonderful scenes of bros being bros in both funny and genuinely moving moments. Unsurprisingly, Bebop and Rocksteady steal the show. They're equal parts comic relief and genuine threat. While nowhere near as bumbling as the cartoon, their bromance and levity is refreshing and helps take the strain off Michelangelo's being the funny one. While I had my concerns about him, Krang actually came out really well. Just enough 90s supervillain to tickle your nostalgia bone. The only part I didn't like was how they dealt with the Shredder at the film's climax. While it does set up for future movies, it felt rather cheap for such a pivotal character. Also, while I'm a big Stephen Amell fan, not sure what he brought was the right kind of New York City vibe to the role. A thick Boston accent may have helped. In the end, it feels like I've just watched an extended live-action episode of the 90s cartoon, and really, isn't that what the people wanted all along? Cowabunga indeed! And then a post-credits question. Did you catch the cameo of the Turtles co-creator, Kevin Eastman? I have not seen this yet. I don't know if I'll see it in the theaters, but you're of the two of us, you're certainly more of the fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the reason I'm laughing, Frank says he can add a little bit to Turtles. He is the biggest Ninja Turtles fan we've ever met. We did a hangout for our other show from the Helicarrier, and he had a picture of his
camera in his studio.
Whatever you want to call it. And it's just wall-to-wall toys, collections. And it's so much Turtle stuff. And he has a handmade Turtle costume that's a replica from the comics. And it was just amazing. He's got all this cool stuff. So, but beyond that, or besides that, he's the king of fandom, I think. Yeah, every second of the trailer just made me just squeal like a little girl. And when I see Casey, you got to understand, Casey Jones for me was the epitome of everything, because I was an angry young kid, an angry teenager, and still had that sense of justice and wanted to fight the bad guys. And all the good guys on TV at the time, and of course, growing up in the church, all the basic good guys were Superman style, Boy Scouts. And it just didn't ring true to me. And when I see Casey Jones show up to fight Raphael in the first live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, and I'd seen him in the cartoon, and it's Elias Koteas, and he is the epitome of Casey Jones to me. And he just killed it the whole time. Even at the farm when April O'Neil's there, and she mouths off to him. He just doesn't care. He just mouths off right back. I'm like, I love that. You don't have to care about what people think of you, and you know, it helped shape my childhood. Nice. And so when I see Casey Jones come rolling in the trailer, I'm like, oh my God, that's gonna be awesome. And then it's Stephen Amell, who has done an amazing job as Zero. And I like Stephen Amell as a person. I haven't got to meet him face to face, but I've sat at his panels where he's just sharing his stories from his life. And he's a very fun person. And I thought he would fit the role. Although I might have to agree with Frank. He might have needed an accent. I haven't heard it yet. But then Bebop and Rocksteady show up. And that's that line. In the end, it feels like I've just watched an extended live-action episode of the 90s cartoon. And really, isn't that what the people wanted all along? Yes, it is. So very much,
yeah, for sure.
Very much. I haven't been able to make time to go see it. Where my wife and I are still trying to make time to go see it. I'd love to see it in the theaters, but if not, of course, I'll be getting it on Blu-ray. And a review from a fellow fan like this, that makes me very happy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know that if there's somebody who's gonna give a very accurate, honest review of it. I mean, it's like, do you want your critic to be someone who's completely unfamiliar with the Turtles universe? Like if you knowing me and knowing that I play World of Warcraft, would you want a review of that movie from somebody who doesn't know anything about it, who can say, yeah, you know, I liked it. Tina came with me. She's never played a second of either of the games or any of the games. And she liked it too. So
He referenced his wife. That's exactly how I balance my movies. Is okay, I'm a huge fan of Marvel. So when the Avengers came out, I'm right there in line. And then when we came out of the movie, it hit all the high notes for me as a fan. And I turned to my wife, who's never read a comic book a day in her life, ignores the cartoons when I'm watching them, quote unquote, with the kids.
Right.
and she loved the movies too. So, I mean, you're right. That's you got the fan and the non-fan. If both of you can agree it's a good movie, it's a great movie.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Yeah.
And as far as Shredder, I haven't seen the film yet, so I'm going to look for it. But from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, if they didn't drop a 3-story building on him just to have his fans still come up through the rubble to show he's still alive, then I'm sure they treated him just fine.
Right. You know,
even as a kid, I'm like, what? They dropped a building on you, man. That's not right. All right. So if you'd like to email us like these gentlemen, or possibly, I mean, if it's Joel, and I spelled it wrong, it could be a gentleman. If it's Joel, whatever. But as these people have written in, btp@giantsizeteamup.com. That's B as in breaking, T as in the, and P as in panel, @giantsizeteamup.com. Now, Ibbett, you are obviously most well-known for Coverville.
Sure.
But I think you would easily say you're secondly most well known for Frog Pants.
Oh yeah, for the Frog Pants stuff, sure.
Right. So I'm always looking for ways to promote Breaking the Panel, and in real life as well. I mean, because I can find them digitally everywhere. I've done this for a while. I'm pretty decent at that. But in real life, I'm trying to find ways, and I host trivia and I do stuff. And it's not like those places are conducive to me going, "Hey, guess what? I host a comic book panel. Come check it out."
Right.
But every once in a while, we definitely get comic questions. I meet all kinds of people. And there's one gig I've been doing. I recognize the guy's shirt. It's a very subtly well-done Hulk shirt. Mm. And I'm like, dude, love your shirts. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, everybody's getting Captain America stuff. And I got this. And I said, yeah, and I recognize the Hulk right away because it's kind of subtle. It is. Mm-hmm. It's not right in your face. And so we kind of talked comics a little bit. And then this past week, he was there. And I was like, hey, you know, you seem to be very up on comics. We had a question about actually who is the father of Wanda and
Pietro Maximoff.
Yeah, I was trying to say Pietro, and I was losing it, but yes, Quicksilver. It wasn't quite that way, but it was basically a phrase like that. And this was a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, "Well, you know," I said, no, I know, that's not the right answer. It's not Magneto. They retconned it, but for the general public." Right. We're going to go with Magneto.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So you see the geek on that level and you meet him. So I said, hey, do you listen to podcasts? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, you know, I've got this one about comic books called Breaking the Panel, and I'm starting to write it down. He's like, yeah, you know, okay. I get the brush off. Like, I'm going to write it anyway because, dude, I've started the pitch. Right. I'm going to finish this pitch. Right. And he goes, yeah, you know, mostly, you know, I listen to these shows, you know, Frog Pants Studios. Like, I knew I had him. He said that. He's like, yeah, I listen to Frog Pants Studios, you know, like, you know, Scott Johnson. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, well, yeah, yeah. He goes, Brian, yeah. Yeah, he's my co-host on this show. And he's like, his eyes just lit up. He's like, that's you.
Oh, that's yes, hilarious. Sir,
that's me. Yeah. So it's not literally 20 minutes because I'm asking a question.
Right.
He's playing the game. He comes up, brings his answer, and then we chat for a minute while other people are turning answers and so on. But we chatted about that kind of stuff and how he listens. He listens to the morning stream every morning, or every afternoon, rather. It's his drive home from work show. And yeah, it's real, because usually in real life, and you probably have this too, you go, hey, you listen to podcasts? What's that?
Right, exactly.
Or whatever. Yeah, and then, of course,
I listen to Serial. Is that?
Yeah. Or WTF, man, listen to that. It's like, okay, no, hey, you know what a podcast is. I'm not going to fault you
exactly.
for it.
Exactly.
But yeah, when he said Frog Pants, like, oh, yep, I got you, man. So his name is Scott with the Fighting Squids. Nice. And that's his trivia team name. And I want to say hey to him and hope he checked it out. And it was a fun moment because I totally got the. And I think he goes, that's you. I'm like, yep, that's me. And I'm like, I'm basking in the glow of Ibbit. I can do this. And but then he goes, you guys are like nominated for an award, right? I'm like, yes, we are.
Pretty much. Nice.
So
excellent. Oh, that's great.
Cool.
Yeah, Scott, hope you're checking the show out. That's so cool.
It was a lot of fun. Let's get to some E3 trailers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
E3 is going on right now. It's Electronics Entertainment Expo, right?
Right. I think the main stuff is over, like all of the presentations from all the major studios. And I don't know how much of the actual conference is left, the trade show floor and stuff. Is it still going on?
I don't torture myself with those details because I can't go. Mm-hmm. Because I used to. I used to follow back when G4 was it might still be a thing. I don't know. I'm a cord killer now. But back when G4 was a thing, I'd watch the coverage from morning to night, or like on Xbox Live. They had that live app where you could watch the coverage. And it was just torture because a lot of these times you can't be there. You can't play the games, of course. And there's going to be another year or two before they come out. So I relegate myself to the trailers that come out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's the way to do it.
What? I know we both watched Spider-Man. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Other than Spider-Man, have you watched other trailers?
I have not seen any of the other trailers. I've been really bad about seeing it's been a crazy week, but I have not seen any of the other game trailers from the stuff that's been announced this week. I know there's a new Zelda game announced. Ooh.
It looks... Well, okay, so I'm 50-50 on Zelda. I cut my teeth on the original Legend of Zelda, beat that one, beat the second one, which is early days of Nintendo. It was everything to do that. And then some of the iterations have been good, all the iterations have been good. Fans have loved pretty much all the iterations.
Yeah.
For me, some of the iterations were good. Like Wind Walker, the art style wasn't my thing.
Okay. And the cel-shaded style and all that. Yeah.
Majora's Mask was okay. There's one with about the shadows. I can't remember what it was. The fact that you name your horse Epona is like, was this like a electric My Little Pony? I don't understand. okay. Yeah, so I wouldn't have seen the trailers either if I hadn't been doing research for the show and just went E3 trailers, knowing that Spider-Man would come up. And I got an article with like 10 trailers, right. So I was able to go through them. It's cool. Here's what I didn't care for of the trailer. For the first, it felt like 2 minutes. I didn't actually look at the time because I was doing something else. It's nothing. It's just, hey, look how beautiful this looks. Mm. Look how beautiful this looks. I'm like, when I see a trailer, I want to see the trailer. Either you make it like a movie trailer and you sell me on it, or you show me gameplay. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if you skip forward, you do get gameplay. It does look kind of cool. I just actually got a Wii U this past week, I think it was. I might be able to play it when it comes out.
You'll have to let me know what you think of that, because that's the... Yeah. I didn't pick up any of the current gen consoles from Microsoft or Nintendo. I've got my PS4, but still rocking a PS3, I'm sorry, not a PS3, an Xbox 360 and a Wii U.
Yeah. What's funny is I have the Xbox One. I got it for my birthday last year. And while I do have a couple of the next-gen games, I'm looking forward to some that are coming out, mm-hmm. including what I'm about to talk about. I still play more 360 games on it than anything, oddly enough. So you're not missing a whole lot unless there's just a franchise.
Standout, right, exactly. Yeah, so it's a standout franchise that you've got to have. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, the reason we got the Wii U, that's a big family thing for us. We always used to play the Mario Kart and Mario Party and stuff on the Wii. And when it died, we just kind of let it go for a while. And so now, of course, that's the version we got was the Wii U with Mario Kart, and we've worn it out like a week. It's a lot of fun. So here's a trailer. You've got to go check this out. It's called Death. Well, according to the headline, it's called Death Standing. According to the trailer itself, it's Death Stranding.
Stranding with an R. Yeah, I actually
R.
I've had this on in the background while we've been talking. No audio or anything, but watching the.
Yeah, you don't need audio for that one.
And it's gorgeous, like the and Hideo Kojima is just.
I know.
He can do no wrong, and the fact that that looks just like Norman Reedus. I mean, they didn't just get his voice or whatever.
Oh, no.
It's
keep watching. He reacts. There's a baby. He reacts to it.
Yeah.
It's amazing the tech that they use on this. And then here's what's beautiful about the trailer. The music's good. It's essentially a music video. That's the only sound. Mm-hmm. And the song really fits the atmosphere of what you're seeing. But as the camera's panning through, just handprints start appearing in this black mud. You're not really sure what it is. And then Reedus, if you really look at him, he's got handprints like in his skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Over his chest and his arms and his legs.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then... I don't want to spoil it. It's a trailer. Go watch the trailer. But there's a baby. It disappears. He looks down. He's got oil on his hands or something. Mm-hmm. And then little baby handprints start appearing and move over. And then the camera pans up and there's death everywhere. That made me go, not only is it gorgeous, because I'm not going to play if it's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And Norman Reedus is the hot property right now. And I'll admit, seeing his face made me go, okay, I'd like to see more of this trailer or this game. But the hinting of all this, you don't even know what's going on, but it looks amazing.
Looks really mysterious and really creepy. And it's got me. It's got me hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Now, I didn't catch the end. Is it only for PS4? Or is that going to be cross-platform, you think?
It was part of the PS4 presentation.
Damn it.
And so I think it might be a PS4 exclusive.
Yeah.
I know Spider-Man game.
Sometimes those come to Xbox, sometimes they don't.
Right.
All right. Of course, there is Spider-Man, which I know you've watched twice now.
Yep, and that is an exclusive, and it's I don't know what I think of the costume. Everything else about it, I'm really excited about. But
I know,
you know, it's like
kind of
have
that Spider-Man
thing.
Run feel to it. The costume has that Spider-Man running game feel to it.
Running game?
It's kind of a little over comic-y.
Oh, right, like the
brighty.
Like
the colors are a little too bright.
Right. See, that doesn't bother me. It's the white emblem, like white emblem, great on a black
it's really
costume.
Big.
But if they're going after like the Ben Reilly version of the costume, where it's like a black emblem, because the red and the black or the red and the blue part of it are very much like the Ben Reilly costume, and the shape of the spider on his chest is very much like the Ben Reilly costume. But the fact that it's a white protruding spider, I'm not sure what I think of that, and. I always think back to like the Batman explanation of why he had a big gold bat on his chest. And it was so that if he was in the dark, then the only thing that the criminals might see is this gold bat in front of them to strike fear into their hearts. And that's always stayed with me as like, yeah, see, that's I'd want to think about that kind of thing if I was creating a costume. And if I was Spider-Man, would I want a big white spider that is kind of hovering over his
what kind of covers my kill zone? If you will.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. They know exactly where to aim.
Let me shoot that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, that's my opinion on it. I think it's all about the gameplay, because you're going to be looking at his back anyway while you're playing the game.
Yeah.
So.
And if it's true to other Spider-Man games, you'll gather different costumes throughout the game as unlockables.
Right.
So, yeah, looking at this, okay, watching him do the thing at a coffee shop, I'm like, dude, That's vandalism, man. What are you doing? He knocked over people's coffee, broke right. the window. But I was just picking because somebody referenced that in an email to from the other carrier. But yeah, I never think this about the game, and I saw him fly into that car, right? Not fly, but you come off the web right. into the car, wrap the dude up, and that looked like a combo gameplay style mm-hmm. thing, not just a pre-rendered film. And I went, look at the mechanics of this game.
Right.
That looks amazing. Yeah. Like, it'd be so much fun to play.
Super cool. Yeah,
that was my thing with the first Batman from Rocksteady. Rocksteady, I think. Who is it?
Rocksteady Games, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was the first time I ever played a Batman game that I felt like Batman.
Was that the Arkham
Asylum?
Arkham Asylum, the right? Yeah. Then you went to Arkham City and then Arkham mm-hmm. Legacy, Knights? The third one? Arkham Knight?
I think it's Arkham Knights with a K?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
I played half of the second one. I never played the third one. But the first one I beat, and I loved it because you were the detective. Mm-hmm. You had to do all the detective. You got to sneak around. You couldn't just go in guns a-blazing, right. technically speaking.
Yeah, you had to stealth in and take people in a full room. You had to take them out one at a time or else you were going to get shot.
Yeah, and the terror levels would rise. I mean, you felt like Batman. When I see this Spider-Man trailer, I go, that's the Spider-Man game to play. Mm-hmm. It looks like I will feel like I'm Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Except without the teenage angst and homework and bad quips.
And no origin. They're not going to do an origin in this game, they said, which is great.
Thank Feige.
Right.
And one more. I don't think this was an E3 trailer. I just had heard the announcement and went mm-hmm. and looked it up. And since we're talking game trailers. Injustice Gods Among Us 2
right.
has not only been announced. You can go to Injustice. I think it's Injustice2.com. And just type in Injustice 2, and it'll pop up very quickly on Google. And the trailer, I'm not a fighting guy. I am not a fighting guy. And they got me to pre-order the first game, and I played it for like a month and traded it in and loved it. But it just isn't my style. Mm-hmm. And traded it in. And this trailer is hitting that. Like, totally. I can't pre-order because I know I won't play it, but I want to pre-order it so bad.
Yeah, like, all right, how can Flash take out Superman? He totally does it. He's got the cool glowing costume.
Yeah. The armor just
yeah
and the way they tell that story mm-hmm. The overlay of the voice, and you presume it's Batman but mm-hmm. you're not 100% sure, and just the constant fight every time I drop into the pit, I was like, oh my god, it looks like they did a killer, which is weird to say about a fighting game, but they did a killer story for the first one. And it's Ed Boon still doing this one, who was the creator of Mortal Kombat and all that stuff. And I need somebody to play it. I mean, you know what? This might be the first time I really subscribe to a Wii Play channel on YouTube. Because mm-hmm. I just want to watch somebody play
sure, just so you can see gameplay and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't really care about that. See, once you get past three buttons, like I can hit the Y is the hard button, X is the soft button, right. and this jumps. I'm good. Yeah. You go, no, you got a 3/4 roll and stand on your head right. and pull the trigger. Exactly. No, I'm out, man. I can't do that. Sorry.
Square and then left shoulder button at the same time. And then you can do the combo. Yeah, right.
Nictu Vratum, blah, 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 blah. And hopefully you'll punch him.
Klaatu Brata Nikto, right.
Yeah. All right. So, well, you would have saved the world. Ash and I, however, won't. So, all right, we got some more stories going on here after a word from our sponsor. And we're back. So I hope you enjoyed that quick little ad, probably from Progressive, but we never know. Here's this movie list. And I've been talking a lot, Ibbett, and I know you have a story. We can either do your story right now, or you can read this story, however you'd like to do.
I'll read this one because I just pulled it up so I could take a look at it. Right. A 4chan user, yeah, we know, what an incredibly reliable source, claims to have the entire list of Marvel movies coming from 2020 to 2023, which is the entirety of Phases 4 and 5. Gizmodo emailed Disney and Marvel for a comment, but have yet to hear back as of press time, because they're probably too busy laughing. Anyway, while the list is almost certainly bogus, it's admirable in that it uses quotes from Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige to give a hint of believability. At the very least, it's partially a well-educated guess, along with some complete nonsense. So, the secret list of Phase 4 and 5 of the films. Let's go through these. I think some of these are actually pretty likely, but...
Well, they have actually rumored the Black Widow one.
Okay.
And then, of course, the sequels are pretty freaking likely.
Right. So May 1st, 2020 brings us Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Likely, nice. I think you know, Guardians of the Galaxy obviously did so well. They're doing a sequel, and if that sequel's written well, then this is easily a franchise that Marvel can hitch their wagon to.
Especially, and that's about the right time frame because Guardians 2 comes out 17.
Right, exactly.
So give them enough time to make Guardians.
And 3. Then you get the two-parter of Infinity War, which we're pretty sure that the Guardians are going to be part of.
Right.
July 2020 is Spider-Man Coming of Age. I love these names they come up with. November of 2020 is Doctor Strange 2. We'll see. Obviously, we have to go through the first one first and make sure it does well. Then Black Widow, as you mentioned, 2021 March. May of 2021 is Inhumans. July of 2021 is Black Panther 2.
But again, we haven't had Black Panther.
Right.
You know,
it feels like you know, following all of the other patterns that we've seen from Marvel movies, this has potential. November 2021, Ant-Man 3. And here's where things kind of get interesting. February 2022 brings us The Winter Soldier. Not Captain America Winter Soldier, but a solo Winter Soldier movie. May of 2022 brings us The New Avengers.
Right, which would be amazing and feasible.
Right.
However, this far out, I don't think they would announce or have that on the list.
Anymore. Right, because, I mean, you know, Downey Jr. said that he may not come back for another one after Spider-Man or after Infinity right. War. And Chris Evans may be getting tired of all his Captain America checks, mm-hmm. although who knows? So it could be time to have, like, the second generation that they've been building become the front thing, right? With the Falcon right. and Scarlet Witch, and
yeah.
right. So that's interesting. July 2022 brings us Nova. November 22 brings us Captain Marvel 2. March 2023 brings us Sentry / Spider Woman.
The Sentry part would just make me so happy. It'll never happen.
Right. Right. Inhumans 2 in May of that year, Spider-Man Greatness Awaits in July of that year, and Doctor Strange 3 in November of that year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's it feels like a lot of speculation and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. It's just to get buzz. But I thought it was a fun list.
And it is cool a fun list. About. And really, whoever put it together actually did a pretty good job of, like, following the patterns and coming up with stuff that was likely, you know? I mean, who knows what could happen in these years if Fox doesn't do another Fantastic Four movie, if the rights could revert back to Marvel and Marvel could say, okay, now we can do the right kind of Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
By the way, want to hear my theory on the right way to do a Fantastic Four movie?
Yeah.
Completely ignore the origin. Give you an origin. The movie opens with them doing stuff with the Negative Zone. You see what their powers are right off the bat. You see, and if you want to do something in the credits, the opening credits, it's a flashback of how they got their powers. Great. But the Fantastic Four's origin story, really, when you think of it, is kind of boring. They go into space. Yeah. They get bombarded with cosmic rays. They come back down, and now they have powers.
It's almost as boring as Batman's and Spider-Man's origin story.
Right, yeah, right, sure. Yeah, don't Batman, get wrong. Good Batman's characters. Parents are dead. He's rich. He can make a great costume.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, radioactive spider, but I think that's boring just because we've seen it so many damn times.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just played. I guess comparatively, right. You're right. Those are more dramatic and comic booky, whereas this was like, oops. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? We got exposed to radiation. Now we do this crazy stuff.
I feel like if I were to come up with a list of Marvel movies, it wouldn't be that different from what we're reading with this one. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not ridiculous. So.
Well, I think what they'd be missing, if I were to do the hypothetical list, mm-hmm. you're missing Ms. Marvel. Okay, I do expect that Captain Marvel will do well.
Right.
Because pretty much every movie has done well.
Right.
Right. And Kamala Khan, that book, I've read every issue since it came out. Mm-hmm. And it is just so well written. And now with the time of in our society, by the time we get to this point, you're talking about a couple of years later, either as a society, as a whole in the world and as a society in the U.S., we'll either have reverted to massive hatred and we'll be in World War III and we will not be watching any movies, or perhaps we'll have gained some enlightenment and understand that it'd be time to do a Muslim film. And right. And she would be perfect for that. Teenage, female, Muslim, I think it would fit in that stuff, personally.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I like what they say here about Sentry, which, okay, you really have to get a deep and dark, I want Guy Ritchie to do the Sentry movie. It has to have some dark humor.
Guy Ritchie would be great. Oh, that's funny. Rex, yeah.
Sentry has to be an alcoholic. I mean, that's at his core. That's who he is. Because, spoiler alert, the Sentry's not real. He's some kind of superpowered imagination of the guy who's actually an alcoholic. It's crazy. It's such a twisted story.
Yeah.
But I like what he says here about the Sentry / Spider-Woman movies is hypothetical only in the possibility, in the sense that spontaneous combustion is a hypothetical possibility.
Right.
And that's a really good question. Where's Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and Hulk?
Because I think all those actors have moved on by 2021 and stuff. I think.
But in the comics, it is shown that
other characters can move into those roles. Right.
Rhodey, which Rhodey's iffy now with the latest movie, but somebody could easily take over the Iron Man role. Mm-hmm. Thor is always going to be Thor, but he has a younger brother who looks just like him, so he could easily
get a new, just new Hemsworth, basically. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Liam is the baby. Mm-hmm. He could do it. But yeah. It's fun. It's just fun. Would I like to see all these? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
It would be great. Oh, here's what Marvel needs to do. And movie theaters, this would be a great movie, a money-making thing for movie theaters. You pre-buy a package of tickets for opening night for all these movies all at once. You save some money, but all those movie theaters get that money up front.
Nice. I like
marketing
it.
Genius right here.
It is.
All right.
I would do it.
As a matter of fact, we could come up with a fake web page that offers this, you know, the AMC Super Movie Pack, and it's tickets to all of the remaining Marvel movies that are confirmed on opening night, and I bet you we get like 1,000 emails of people saying, "Oh, sign me up! This sounds fantastic."
Oh, no, and see, AMC actually has that kind of sense of humor.
Right.
If you type in something wrong on their site and go to one of their 404 pages, it's like Ben Kenobi going, "This is not the page you're looking for," and you know, stuff like that. And what sucks is the first years at NMX, I met at the time the host for the AMC podcast about their theaters and movies and stuff coming out, and we didn't really hit it off. We just never clicked. I was like, now I'm like, well, that would be kind of cool to go, "Hey, dude, this is a funny thing. Y'all should do this." And they would, but
yeah. Yeah, I can see them doing it. So. And you heard it here first, folks, right here.
Just right. You heard it from Past Blue Ibbot.
I'm like a mile away from Coors. Maybe I should just be Coors. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm a mere few steps away from Coors. There's some in my fridge right now. So, not that that's my beer of choice. It just happens to be what somebody left behind. So, free is always
that's why it's sitting in your fridge, because you haven't drank it.
That's true, too.
I'm currently enjoying a Pulsar semi dry hard cider. It's very good.
Those words don't even go together.
Pulsar semi dry. Pulsar is the brand, it's from Star Cut Ciders, and it's a semi dry hard cider. So, it's not a sweet cider, which is I prefer the dry cider, so this is great. It's highly recommended.
All right.
They're not a sponsor.
It just sounded like you put together a bunch of random words from the dictionary.
It kinda did, didn't it? Yeah. Iced mayonnaise, toenail paragraph ring.
I'll take two. All right. I'm a huge fan of the Telltale series games, and they do amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. And Batman is getting the next treatment.
Nice.
Which has me very excited. I'm trying to click on the link when I actually have it still open. That's really dumb.
But I'm going to click on that link.
Yeah. It's a very quick article. The art is very much Telltale, which is cell shading. But without it being super cartoony, it's really got that detail I like in it. And the most important part about the article is rendered to look like a living, breathing comic book. Telltale's vision of Batman will feature an award-winning cast of talent, including Troy Baker in the role of Bruce Wayne, Travis Willingham as Harvey Dent, Aaron Yvette as Vicki Vale, Ian Reitel, I can't even say that right, Reitel, as Alfred Pennyworth, Murphy Geyer as Lieutenant James Gordon, Richard McGonagall as Carmine Falcone, and Laura Bailey as Selina Kyle.
And I don't recognize any of those names, but Telltale
Troy Baker is, I'd have to IMDb him. That name I recognize. Okay. I don't know exactly why, but the rest are kind of iffy.
He's done a lot. Looks like he's done a lot of audio stuff. Lego DC Comics Superheroes, Generator Rex, Batman Unlimited.
Okay, yeah. I used to watch the crap out of Generator Rex. That was actually cool. For the kid. He's good voice actor. They always get great voice actors. Mm-hmm. No dates, no trailers that I found so far. But of course, it will be in the standard Telltale size of here's chapter one for free.
Right.
Yeah, and you do the whole chapter for free. And then chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 will be probably $5 each. Mm-hmm. Or for the first time ever, for the first time at launch, it sounds like, Batman the Telltale series will also be available on game consoles as a special season pass disc, which will be available at retailers across North America, Latin America, and Europe later this summer, granting access to 5-episode seasons as it becomes available for download. Well, that's actually not as different as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be all 5 episodes on the disc. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I bought the season pass before.
Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us?
That's it. Well, I bought The Walking Dead. The Wolf Among Us, actually, I got for free because I waited for 3 years and it came on
bundle,
Xbox
Humble
Gold.
Bundle or something. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Season Pass is typically $20. It saves you $5 overall because there's usually 5 chapters at $5 each and blah, blah, blah. Well, no, I guess it's about the same. Never mind. Because you don't pay for the first chapter. So it's $20. Right. But it's the best game you're going to buy.
First chapter for free. Yep.
Yeah. So I am excited. Do you play Telltale games?
I've played the Walking Dead, which I thought was just fantastic. I have not played Wolf Among Us, although that's on my list. People have recommended that to me. Absolutely. It's something I'm looking forward to. So it's on the list. It'll happen, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Wolf Among Us was so good, it made me go find the Vertigo comic. And I think the Vertigo comic is called Fable Town. Mm-hmm. And the author, the writer behind the comic, was the writer behind the story with Telltale. You gotta play that.
Cool. All right. Go through that.
You know, we put a lot of these stories, in fact, most of the stories, headlines that came up today are from, we find them throughout the week, and we put it on facebook.com/breakingthepanel. So you can also read these articles as we find them. You can post your comments, share it, all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun. So go check out facebook.com/breakingthepanel. And Ibbot, yes. We got some updates on Spider-Man.
Yes, so Spider-Man Homecoming, which has as silly a name as some of those other Spider-Man titles we were doing a minute ago.
I know, right?
Donald Glover is joining the cast, and there's questions as to who he's going to be playing. Is he going to be playing Miles Morales? We don't know. But it's official. Donald Glover finally joins the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming, sparking speculations that he may take on the role of Miles Morales. Donald Glover was the voice actor for Miles in the animated series Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors, which leads to speculations. An exclusive report by Deadline, Donald Glover joins Tom Holland in the much-anticipated Spider-Man Homecoming, slated to hit theaters in July 2017. John Watts is helming Spider-Man Homecoming for Sony Pictures and Marvel Studios. However, Donald Glover's character wasn't revealed just yet. It's important to note that Donald Glover was suggested to take on the lead in The Amazing Spider-Man 6 years ago. Fans even began a campaign, hashtag Donald for Spider-Man, which trended at that time. So, I heard a great theory. Actually, somebody listening to another show where we talked about this made this suggestion, which I think is absolutely brilliant. It'll never happen, but it's absolutely brilliant. Ready for this?
Yes.
Hope you're sitting down. So in Spider-Man Homecoming, they do introduce Miles Morales, played by Donald Glover, who also does get spider powers. He stays with Sony, and Tom Holland's Spider-Man goes with Marvel to Marvel Studios, and they can maintain both properties. They can keep going, you know, with both movies, and
he gets a good shooting schedule.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
How great would that be? I don't think it'll happen. Fantastic. But it's talk about the dream scenario.
Well, because the only thing I don't like about it is I'd want Donald Glover also in the Marvel Universe as well.
Well, sure. You can't have it always.
I know. I got Paul Giamatti, but I did not get Rhino. I stand, but I did not get Rhino.
Yeah, you didn't get Rhino. I'll second that.
You can have an Oscar winner. You just can't have a good character, apparently. Here's my thing. Rumor has it, as we know, with Nick Fury, the new Nick Fury, which was mid-90s, I think it was, when he changed from white, big-faced man that nobody could really identify with to...
Big face?
He had a big face. I saw it the other day.
He just had, white sideburns. Yeah, white temples. White temples, like...
He went to Black Nick Fury, right? And it was based off of Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
And it was fairly widely known at the time. And I think the writer may have even come, or the artist. It wouldn't have been the writer. The artist who drew it probably came out and said it. I don't remember. But I do know when they went to start casting for Nick Fury for Iron Man, right, that it came out in the special that they did that Jackson was like, told his people, like, why are they not contacting us? That comment was drawn off of me. Get that role.
Right.
Which tickles me, right? It tickles me so much when somebody does that because, like, you get it.
MRF and director on that. MRF and phone.
Yeah. Right? The rumor, and I haven't heard confirmation on this. I do know, obviously, and it's confirmed again here in this article, but we know that Donald Glover voiced Miles Morales before. He's perfect for it. He's got such amazing acting chops that he would just be perfect in any of the superhero universes. Right. But it is rumored that Miles Morales' drawing is based off of Donald Glover.
Oh, is it really? Oh, so
that's
similar.
That's rumor. I've yet to confirm that one. But that's the word. So, as
very
interesting. Do it. Then somehow bring Abed in. I don't remember that actor's name, but he's cool too. Actually, he's in DC Universe now. He's in Powerless coming up on TV.
Oh, is he really? I could have sworn we saw him in Deadpool. We saw him in something Marvel, though.
It's possible. It's Danny Pudi. You're right. I heard you say it, and it just registered my brain. Yeah, Danny Pudi. It is possible he made a cameo. He's not been a main screen character.
There was. He was in Winter Soldier. He was a, and he actually played Abed Nadir.
No way.
Yeah, he was in Captain America Winter Soldier.
He's as his biggest character ever. I love it.
That's right. Working in S.H.I.E.L.D. on the phone call area. And apparently his name in the movie is Abed Nadir. That's great.
The tendrils of community just spread everywhere. It's just, it's awesome. All right. I think that's it. You got anything else, Ibbets?
I've got nothing else. This was a jam-packed show.
It was a lot of fun. And you know what? You know what? The house isn't on fire. The car is still in the garage. Everybody's happy.
And there wasn't a single F-bomb dropped on the show that somebody has to edit out. Yeah.
Exactly. There wasn't a single E-bomb dropped on the show. So now I feel like we should swear our way out of this one.
Okay. Yes.
No, we kid because we love. We've had Travis Jones on many, many times. And, of course, we miss Wisdom dearly. Yes. When I saw – I didn't want to say anything to him because after the fact it's fine. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You got family dinner. You got something coming up. But when Klotz said he couldn't be here, I was like, son of a bomb drop. You know, like, oh, my goodness. But I didn't want him to feel bad. So now you know, sir, we have missed you. We're glad that you did what you needed to do, but get your ass back here next week.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, find us in iTunes and on GiantSizeTeamUp.com, where you're going to find other amazing shows like MCU Cast, DC On Screen, The Blazing Defender Report, From the Helicarrier, many, many more. We've got a few shows, more than a few shows over there. And please go and support us and show your love. Patreon.com/breakingthepanel. We could use your support. Share this with your friends. Tell everybody you know. You know what? I would love to rival any show on Frog Pants. You know, that's the first goal. It's like, hey, we're rivaling you in audience. Our audience is better than yours. And you have that kind of fun little rivalry.
Have some little rivalry going on.
While we have a great audience, you guys and your gals are really awesome. We're kind of small, and we'd like to change that.
Sure.
So tell everybody, Facebook.com, emails, all that jazz. Until next week, I like how Frank said it best, cowabunga indeed.
Let's get some pizza.
Come on.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at GiantSizeTeamUp.com.